Any further ado, I give you Liz B. from New York.
Woo! You light up my life. Oh, yes, you do. You gave me the hope when I didn't know there was any hope for me. I want to say good morning to each and every one. My name is Liz Bailey. My anonymity's been shot to hell for a long time. But I don't run around telling who's in the fellowship and who's not in the fellowship. That's something I've never done, never will do. I want to thank the committee, and what a gorgeous committee. Can you all give this committee a round of applause? They are just gorgeous. I had the privilege of being with them the other night, and I got real wild with them. They are so good. You know why I got wild? To see somebody come in here and work with this fellowship. Because when I got here, the fellowship was 17 years old, and there was 150,000 members. Today, we're going to be 67 years old, with over 3 million members, and I don't know why you're not up off your behind doing something. I want to know. You got to talk to me. I want to know, because when I got in here, I was put to work right away. And that's why AA built to be where it is today. Get in on the building foundation. Get in on it, and it'll save your life. Save your life. I didn't know from nothing when I got here. And right away, they gave me another drunk. Isn't that something? Gave me another drunk. And I've been with a drunk from July the 11th, 1952, to right till today. I have never been a day in this world of my life without one of you in it. And I thank you for that. I'm a definite alcoholic, and I'm one of the many grateful alcoholics. I want to thank my friends that came to be with me today. I would take up all the meeting naming your names, so I can't do that. But I do want to welcome Judith. Where are you, Judith? Stand up there, because you're new in Beach, Virginia Beach. And if you want a beautiful person in your life, get Judith in your life. She left me in New York. Ain't she got some nerve? But she left me. And we miss her. We miss her back there already. And she's been here a month. So get to know Judith, please. Because none of us are ever alone anymore. Isn't that wonderful? And you senior citizens, please don't get angry with me, but I don't deal with senior citizens. I've tried, and you moan, and you groan, and you complain, and you leave me so depressed. Now, I went crazy over this front line right down here with these young dudes. That's who I hang out with, young dudes. Young dudes. And you know what? I get in their cars and I bop to the meetings and I bop on back from the meetings. You know? So you all ain't going to let me show my age. I'm going to be 81. Yeah. And I'm a swinging 81. Not going to sit in my house and get senile for none of you, I'll tell you. No way am I going to do that. Mm-mm. I've had the most fantastic life in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank Jeanette for coming all the way from New York here by herself. I think Jeanette, that is out of sight. I want to thank, above all, my host and hostess for this weekend. You talk about staying with me like a 34-cent stamp. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. They've been right on my case the whole weekend. Just gorgeous. Stand up, Jeanette and Danny. I won't call you, son. There was a minister preaching. He said, if you drink alcohol, you're doomed to die. And the little old lady down front, she said, amen. He said, now if you smoke those cigarettes, you're doomed to die. And the little old lady, she said, amen. He said, now if you chew tobacco, she said, look at that. He done stopped preaching and gone to meddling. So I'm going to go to meddling. You know we hate the truth. Oh God, do we hate the truth. But if you can face the truth, you'll be set free. You'll be set free. Face the truth about yourself. Don't try to hide behind it. To set you free. I drank for a period of 19 years before. Oh, don't let me forget. Let me thank the speakers. Every one of the speakers was so beautiful. Yes. Someone asked me today, do I make meetings? I make 6 meetings a week, sometimes 2 a day. That's how I know to stay sober. I don't know any other way of staying sober. I've been flying up in this air for 38 years. I'm just starting the 39th year. I've covered every state in this United States but 2. And that's Mexico City and Alaska. And I've been up there and I love it. Last year I had a stroke. And I had to stay out of the air for almost a year. I was so happy when my doctor gave me permission that I could fly again. So 2 weeks ago I went to Mississippi. Oh, Mississippi, here I come. I was singing it. Find a song to sing, because I was singing it. Here I come. Now this week I'm in this here Virginia Beach. And wherever I've been asked to go, I was taught never to say no. I have never asked anybody to let me speak anywhere. I don't believe in that, because that would be my will. My will is no good, never was any good, never will be any good. It has to come through the grace of God and man to me. And thank God I've been privileged never to say no. July the 11th, I'll make 50 years here. 50 gorgeous years of my life. And I got to tell you how I do that. Daily reprieve. Daily reprieve. I live in just today. Get in to just this day. You say it at every meeting. Give us this day. Then give me next week, next month, or tomorrow. Give me today. And I live in a vigilance of sobriety. A guy sat next to me not too long ago and he says, I'm 5 days back. I said, back from where? I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, I lost my home, my wife, my 2 children, my 2 cars, and my job. I said, how'd you do that? He said, well, I got complacent. I hope to God I never become complacent. I am not cured. The progression of alcoholism is still going on inside of me. And look what I would have to lose, my life above all. And I'm going to say something else you don't like. I know you're not going to like it. Because once you walk into one of these AA rooms, you'll never, but never drink or drug in peace again. I have not seen it done. Not one of you have come back here and told me it's so fine. No, you didn't tell me it's fine. Thank God you're able to get back here, because a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. This is a life and death matter. A little girl was running up and down in front of me back in Valley Stream, New York. I said, honey, go sit with your mommy or whomever you're with. I said, because I'm up here for my life. This is a life and death matter. And the mother reported me to intergroup. Ain't that a hot one? I don't know what she thought intergroup was going to do for me. And that's what's so gorgeous about AA. There's no man or woman above us here but God. Only the ultimate God is in this room this morning. Every day, get under him. And it works fine. Now, I drank for a period of 19 years before I came here. I literally came from the streets of New York. And I'll tell you the truth. It was so hard out there because nobody over 50 years ago was talking about any alcohol or alcoholism. I didn't hear the word sobriety till I got into AA. I didn't hear the word dysfunctional till I got into AA. I came from a broken up home. My dad was a pitiful drunk. And I used to grieve about my dad's drinking. I'd see the policemen beat him with the billies, neighbors hit him with frying pans. I'd see the blood spatter. I watched my dad come out of Mother Cabrina Hospital. I lived right in front of the hospital. And he would come out dressed like a mummy. I am ever grateful that I was in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous when my dad hung himself out at Central Islip Hospital. I've never seen my mother take a drink in my entire life. And for many years in AA, I had been wishing I could give her two lousy drinks and bring her to hell in here. Because she could have used the whole 12 steps and the 12 traditions. She could have used it all. And of course, my mom died 3 days short of 95. So she had a good life. Of course, now I'm the oldest of 5 children. I had a horrible childhood life. My mom put me out to work on a sleep-in job at 8 years old. And I've been working ever since, really. And here again, my mom made my first drink. She received some rice and raisins and stuff from the welfare. And she made rice wine. Didn't she have some nerve to do that? Having that much trouble with my father? You know, I didn't understand her making that rice wine. But she left myself and a little girl named Marion to sieve this rice wine through cheesecloth. And to show you the difference, Marion sieved and sipped 2 drinks and she went home. I stood there and I sieved and sipped. Oh, I just sieved and sipped. I'm only 12 years old and I'm sieving and sipping. Sieved and sipped and put on a drunk that night that my mother lectured to me all night long. I remember her doing that. And I had the nerve to go out in the street the next day, and I shook my little self, and I told my friends, whoo, what a ball I had. I don't even remember what the hell happened. And that began to be the pattern of my life. If you didn't drink and get drunk and pass out, and please don't pour a drink like that and sip it for 20 minutes, you got on my nerves, and I couldn't take you. You had to drink like I drank, okay? And so watch now. At the age of 14, I heard you all talking about this King Kong, the booze over from the joints. Well, I bought my King Kong from a man who made it in the bathtub next door. And I bought it by the gallon, and I was selling it for 40 cents a cream pitcher. So don't come by my house unless you got 40 cents. I'm going to tell you that right now. See, and here again, I would drink plenty, but someone suggested to me to take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, cream, line yourself up, Liz, then you can drink plenty and you'll make good money. Well, that King Kong was so powerful, it went all through the mayonnaise, the olive oil, the butter, the cream. So I stopped taking that sick stuff. And I drank plenty of booze. I made good money. I put a better table for my brothers and sisters. I put little shoes instead of sneakers. And I helped my mom pay the rent. Okay? Now, I'm looking out the window one night, and I see this sharp dude. Oh, God, he was so sharp, I almost fell out the window. And I found he had this roll of money. And I said, "Oop, there's a live one." Oh, God, I was always looking for a live one. And, you know, and I look for the live ones in AA, too. I don't look for no deadheads in AA. I'm sorry, I do not deal with deadheads in AA. I deal with those people that are going and doing and giving. They keep me charged up. You know, a deadhead will drain you right out. Yeah, I'll tell you that. And of course, now I ran downstairs and I latched onto this cute little dude and found out it was a $5 bill around a lot of ones. But he's so cute, who cared, you know? So I went from uptown Manhattan down to the Lower East Side. I gave everybody a play so they'd come up and give me a play. So at the age of 14, you could not tell me I wasn't a woman. I'm partying, I'm drinking, I'm hanging out. So I asked my mother, I said, "Would you sign for me to marry this man, please? He's 10 years older than myself." And she says, "Oh, no, dear, over my dead body. That man will have you out in the street and you'll live a terrible life with that man." And I found out something about myself at the age of 14. Don't you ever, but never, tell me what not to do. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's something in my nature makes me want to do it and pay all the price. I paid a hell of a lot of prices. I have stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous because everything has been suggested to me. And they still suggest it to me. Don't tell me what to do. Don't. Change my nature. See? So I left New York with that very man at the age of 17. And I came to Baltimore, Maryland, the third day of January, 1939. I was standing in the courthouse, crying my heart out. The minister stopped the wedding ceremony. He says, "My dear young lady, would you mind telling me just what you're crying about?" I said, "Well, at last I got him. I'm going to be honest with every one of you in this convention hall this day. That was the sorriest day of Mr. Bailey's life when he said, 'I do,' to Liz Ulrich. Mr. Bailey never stopped crying from January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord August the 12th, 1986. That was a sorry day for that man. Now, I came back with a marriage license. Now, I'm 81. Could you picture what I was at 17? Woo, Lord. I got a marriage license. I'm going to tear up New York. No more mama. No more neighbors. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. Woo, where to go? Hair flying through the air and all that stuff. Honey, got back here. I had to have a drink to wash, to iron, to cook, to talk. I found that I was in trouble when I started taking the bottle out on the front stoop. Woo. I moved in a nice neighborhood, and I got the bottle on the front stoop. And then Mr. Bailey goes and he buys a house. They all look alike. And I get drunk in Manhattan. And I come back home. I don't know which is my house. And I don't want my neighbors to see what a drunk I am. And I'm standing in the middle of the road, and I'm bobbing and weaving, and I'm looking. And finally, I saw a Christmas tree. I said, "I tried this house next to that tree." I went in. It was my house. I went next door the next day, knocked on Mr. Rochford's door. "Mr. Rochford, never cut that damn tree down because I'll never get home." Never get home. And that tree is still standing there, thank God. But here again, now I began to do insane things. Putting holes in the walls, burning up furniture, breaking up furniture. Oh, my mouth became terrible. I began to curse. You know, I had a lot of work to do on me coming into AA. A lot of work to do on me. And here again, I'm fighting everything and everybody. Now I got to the place, I'll be right back. I'm getting a quart of milk. Or I'm going to buy a loaf of bread. I'll come back a week later, maybe 2 weeks later. I couldn't even tell you when I'd get back. And this is terrible. Then the guilt and the remorse started taking over. Here I have done it again. Here I have done it again. And I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it again. And I'm watching me go down. And one morning I woke up with my head coming off my body. I mean, it was coming off. I took Alka-Seltzer, Anderson, BC. I put a raw egg in the beer. I did everything to straighten my head out. I reached over on my night table and grabbed the Bible. Maybe I'll find the answer in the Bible, how to straighten this rotten, filthy life of mine up. And as I did that, Mr. Bailey passed my room and he looked in. "Put that Bible down, you hypocrite. Put it down." He started screaming. Now, I had asked Mr. Bailey many times, "When I'm on a drunk, shut your mouth." "Shut up. I don't want to hear you." "When I'm coming off a drunk, shut up. I don't want to hear you." And he kept his mouth going. And my head is coming off my body. I really ran and jumped up in the second floor window. And he said, he had told me before I jumped up in the window, he said, "You know what? In 20 minutes to an hour, you're going to be so drunk, you'll be slapping the kids down, you'll be hopping a cab, you'll be swinging a corner." I said, "How do he know me so well?" I didn't know how he knew me that well. And he was right. And I still didn't want to hear his mouth. I jumped up in the second floor window. And as I went to throw my body down into the yard, there's a lady named Nana Backer, lived downstairs. She's in the yard, and she spots me standing in the window. "Mr. Bailey, Mr. Bailey, you better get her. She's going to jump." I see him come out the next window. I see his hands come out. And you all please forgive me, but he said, "Nana, will you let that bitch jump?" He says, "I'll be rid of all my problems, all my troubles, please. please let that bitch jump. Well, I wanted to know who the hell did he think he was. I guarantee you I got down out of that window. I got back into that bed, and I pulled the sheet over me and slipped that one off. Now, one of the speakers spoke like this weekend, too. I said to Mr. Bailey, maybe if you drank with me, because he's not an alcoholic. He went out and got drunk with me one night and hit his head in the radiator. He never got drunk again. Never again, to my knowledge. See? But not me. I'd hit my head upside radiators, walls, anything. I'm right back at the same thing in 20 minutes to an hour, like he said. And here this time, I remember so clearly, Mr. Bailey tried to take me out to drink. And we'd go over into the city. My sister had three bars in the city. And I would get over there, and I'd start at this end of the bar, and I'd drink all the way down to the ladies' room. I'd drink all the way back down to the store. And then my sister would say, get on a horse. That meant get out of her bar, but quick. Now, I don't know if you've ever been over in New York, 145th Street. It's a hill that you got to walk up to the subway. And if you're drunk trying to get up that hill, oh, I'll never forget it. And then I'd get on the subway trying to sit up like a lady, and I'm so drunk I can't sit like a lady. I'm puking and swallowing it, and I'm trying to straighten up. And I'll tell you, I suffered. And then when I'd get home, after he tried to show me a good time, I'd look me up an after-hour joint. See, I didn't have enough. I did not have enough. Just like last night in the restaurant, someone said to us, would you like a drink? And the fella told the woman, no, you don't have enough in here for us. And that was the truth. I never had enough. I watched myself go down. Broken ribs, third-degree burns. Girls, don't ever fry a frozen chicken drunk. Don't do that. Don't do that. I did, and knocked the grease over and burned up both of my legs, you know. And I'm watching me go down, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Nobody's telling me anything, but why don't you use your willpower? Haven't you been beat with that? Why don't you use your willpower? And my willpower was I'd take one drink, it'd come up. Take two drinks, it'd come up. Take the third drink, it'd come up. Fourth drink, it'd come up. I'd get that fifth drink to stay down, and man, I'd be off to the races. As soon as I got that one to stay down, off to the races. And I'm going down. I'm telling you, I'm watching me go down. Three beautiful children. I never had to work. Mr. Bailey was a furrier. And every time I had a period of dryness, he'd make me another fur coat. And one year, he made me the most gorgeous leopard coat you ever laid your eyes on. Put three linings in it, threw a party for the job and all. Brought the coat home, threw it out on the bed. I looked down at that leopard coat and I hated it. I gave it away. I said he made it so he could spot me anywhere. And here I get sober and I want that coat and I don't have it. But you see, I had to get sober, because if you don't get sober, you don't see what you're doing. No. As long as you stay in the source, it don't let you see. You've got to get sober to see what you've been doing. You really do. And so, of course, I continued to drink. I had the honor and privilege. I have to get back to where Mr. Bailey told me about AA. He came up to me one night and he said, you know, Liz, you're the nicest wife when you're sober. Drunk, you're a Jekyll and a Hyde. Why don't you try this AA? Whenever you desire a drink, run over to the phone. He didn't tell me to walk now. He said, run to the phone. Call somebody to talk you out of the drink. I don't hear this in AA anymore either. Get phone numbers. Call somebody. You might save that person's life on the other end. I've had it happen to me twice in AA. 3 years and 9 years, where a phone saved me from picking up a drink. Because I went into self-pity. And self-pity is a ruination. Resentments are a ruination. Get rid of them fast. Fast. I was sitting in the hospital last year with a stroke. And the nurse said to me, Miss Bailey, are you all right? I said, no, I'm not all right. And I was crying. And she said, you want me to talk to you? I said, listen, honey, leave me alone. I'm allowed with 2 minutes of self-pity. Just 2 minutes. Can't have no more than that. 2 minutes of a resentment. No more than that. No more. And the phone rang for 3 years and 9 years. and pull me right up out of the thoughts of a drink. Pull me right up. So I go for telephone therapy. When I'm home, I get 24 calls or more a day if I'm home. And I'm constantly talking with alcoholics and so on. And I'm an Al-Anon person also. I've been with Al-Anon 45 years. And I started my Al-Anon in Kingsway, Brooklyn. And I've been with Al-Anon ever since. I will not leave Al-Anon. Al-Anon taught me I didn't cause a thing. I can't cure a thing. And I damn sure can't control it. It's called the three C's. Put it in your life. It works. Works fine. Because you're not going to change anybody but you. And when you look at it, mentally, physically, and spiritually, I'm a full-time job on me. On me. I ain't got time to mess with you. Not at all. And so again, I cursed Mr. Bailey out when he told me about AA. Ooh, I laid that man's soul to rest. And I'm so grateful to God that he didn't beat me with AA. Because if he had beat me with AA, I'd have never made it. I'd have never made it. I know that. I told you, my nature wouldn't let it. This is a program of attraction. I was standing up in Brooklyn a couple of months ago, and I was shaking myself, telling me, if you see what I got, and you want what I got, and some guy winked at me. I said, man, I ain't talking about that stuff, you know. I said, let me rephrase this thing. I got to rephrase it. Yeah, but it's a program of attraction. So here again, I cursed him out. He walked away. Never mentioned AA again. In 8 to 10 months, I had hit such a bottom. Such a bottom. This lady was coming to sell some insurance for the house. I never called it a home. I had every material thing any woman on this earth would ever want. Never have I wanted for anything. And you know, it didn't get me sober. It doesn't keep me sober. And of course now, I remember so clearly going down, and I hit a bottom of bottoms, that this lady I was supposed to see, I never did get to see her. Because I got a phone call from the guy, I'm drinking with hard two-fist drinkers in the VFW hall. And I hung up the phone on him. Then he called me back. I said, oh, don't bug me. There's a lady coming. I want to see her. And I hung up the second time. He called me back the third time. He said, Liz, do me a favor. Hop a cab. I'll introduce you to the people. I'll put you back in the cab, and I'll send you home to your company. I figured, let me do that, because he's going to drive me up a wall today. I got the cab and went over there. The booze started lining up. The jukebox is going, and I'm singing, you always hurt the one you love. The one you don't want to hurt. Oh, give me another drink. Give me another drink. See, I could sing them old Weeping Harry songs. Give me another drink. And so when I woke up, I was in one of my kids' twin beds. And at the foot of this bed stood my mom and Mr. Bailey. And my mom had her head just going. And she was screaming, somebody done something to her. Somebody done something to her. And Mr. Bailey got his head going. And he's saying, no, Mom, nobody's done anything to her. She happens to be a very sick girl. Well, he didn't call me bitch. You know my name was bitch, don't you? You know that. Yeah. See, but when he said I was a sick girl, something went all over my body. I can't explain it today. But I got up out of the bed. I went to the basement. And I stayed in the basement for 2 days praying to die. I wanted out. I wanted out. I couldn't take it no more. My oldest son was 12 years old at that time. He's going to be 62 May 7th. And you know, I said to him, Richard, I can't live like this. This is not the way I want to live. Look at this. You can't depend on me for anything. Because I never did get to see the lady. I never did. I forgot what she looked like, to tell you the truth. But here again, I started screaming, oh God, oh God, oh God, please help me. And the big book is right. He could and he would if he sought. Call upon him at all times. He wants you to do that. But I love AA too, because it tells you, find your own higher power. You don't have to have mine. I'll loan them to you maybe. But you don't have to have mine. Don't mess with mine. Because I know what mine can do. I know what my higher power can do. Yes, I do. And again, something spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you. Let me try this AA that your father told me about. I took the telephone books down off a cabinet, and I called AA, and they didn't have anyone to send me at that time. But I did go over into Manhattan, and I tried to get up the flight of stairs to Intergroup, and I couldn't. I was trying. And then finally, I said, let me go get me a drink. And as I went to turn, a lady looked down the stairs, and she said, are you having trouble? I said, yes, ma'am. And I ran up the stairs to her, and she escorted me into the front part of the office, and she started to tell me about herself. Who talks about themselves like that? My mother said, put that in a closet. Shove it in a drawer. Shove it under a rug. Don't you dare go out and tell nobody where you got the black eyes and the busted mouths or the fights in your house. And I'm saying, this lady kept talking. I said, why don't she put this stuff in a garbage can and make sure she got a lid on it? You know, because I would never tell you about myself before AA. I didn't have time anyway. But again, even with AA, when I came in, I couldn't talk because there was nothing but men sitting out there. And I didn't want to put my linen out in front of the men. So every 90 days they were at me, Liz, when you going to talk? When you going to talk? So I went at 6 months sobriety. I went to a meeting on a Sunday afternoon, and two guys tricked me into talking. I haven't shut up yet. I have not shut up yet from 6 months of sobriety till today. Till today. It is so true. In the giving you receive, and in the giving you keep. I'm not going to tell you how to get sober and I be drunk. No way. I got to get it here to give it to you. If I don't have it for me, I can't give it to you. So it starts with you. And I hope my God allow me to see each one of you young men grow into beautiful men in this fellowship. And you can do it. You don't have to drink or drug anymore. You don't. And don't give me no excuses because you've used them all up out there. Use them up out there. That's it. Goes for all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I told her, she says, it's the first drink. I says, oh, come on, sweetie. I've been drinking for 19 years. She said, Liz, when you take one drink of any type of alcohol, even down to cough medicine, and you all are dealing with that 5% of stuff out here. Listen, if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink. I ain't going to make believe I'm drinking. I can't make believe I'm drinking. I'm going to drink. See? And so she said, and when you take that, it's only a matter of time that a compulsion sets up into you that you have to go all the way. And I understood that because I've seen myself take a drink on a Monday. Good. Two drinks on Tuesday, you're looking for me. Wednesday, I'd go to Gert's department store, buy a fifth, drink the whole fifth, nothing happened. Woo! Found a brand I can drink. Went back there Thursday and bought me another bottle. Friday, I'm knitting without needles. Have any of you knitted without needles? But I'm walking up and down, and I'm knitting, and I've got to go get that drink to get me back in focus. I've got to do it. See? And she gave me the choice of two meetings. Now, I don't know about you girls, but I used to go to the beauty parlor and get my hair done nice. And the minute I get drunk, all that booze went right to my head. I had Afro way before Afro came in style. I did. I had it right out there. And I watched me. So, Mr. Bailey, now I'm going to go to my first AA meeting. And Mr. Bailey used to give me money for clothes. I never found the clothes. I'd drink up the money. And then now I get my hair done nicely. I go buy a little two-piece blue suit. And I'm going off to my first AA meeting. And there's two girls behind the coffee counter as they see me coming in. And I'm only mimicking them. I'm not making fun of them. They looked up at me and they said, you don't look like an alcoholic. I said, what the hell did I get myself into? Let me get the hell out of here. And I started running. I wasn't walking. I was running. And when I came here, they always kept two people at the door. Because once you got in, you did not get out. No, no. No, no. You were not doing all this walking in and out and up and down that you guys do today. No, no. I'm not used to it. And we went in. And I'm running out the door, and this man hit me over here on the shoulder. He said, what's the matter with you? where are you going? I said, those girls said I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't know what an alcoholic looks like. I'm about to lose my mind, my home, my children, and everything through drinking. He said, have a seat, sweetie. You in the right place. And they put two tables together that night in the middle of the room, and they shared their strength, their hope, and experience with me. And was I ever grateful to find that I wasn't alone anymore with my sickness, that there were other people out there just like me, that I didn't have to do this alone, and I have not. And you know, it's just so wonderful. And I remember three carloads came home with me that first night to explain AA to Mr. Bailey. But this is what I've got to explain to you. They asked me not to get sober for anybody but for myself. Not for my mother, because if I had to stay sober for my mother, I'd have been drunk, drunk, drunk. My mother took years of my sobriety before she even said to me, stay with them A's, whatever they are. So, and I said, you don't know, I don't plan to leave these A's. And I've never been in my plan to leave the A's. And Mr. Bailey couldn't stand me sober. I had the honor and privilege of speaking for our late co-founder, Bill Wilson. I spoke for Bill Wilson's 28th anniversary at the Hotel Commodore to 2,700 people that night. And Bill presented me my big book. And in my big book he presented to me was, Dearest Liz, you're a magnificent demonstration of all that is AA. Affectionately yours, Bill. That's my gift from Bill Wilson to me, which I treasure. The pages are turning yellow, but it's okay. It's still my book. See, and I don't let nobody handle it but me. No, nobody handle that book. That's my book. Yeah. When we arrived, I asked Mr. Bailey to sit on the dais with me for Bill's dinner. He told me to get myself another husband for that night. And my girlfriend said, you're going to ask him again? I said, no, because I'm the speaker. And then the night before the dinner, he said, what time do I have to be there the next day? Because I never bugged him anymore about it either. And I said, well, my sponsor, and I had a sponsor for 28 years till she went home with the Lord. I got another sponsor now for 20-some years, too. And she is gorgeous. She doesn't have as much sobriety as I have, but she really doesn't have to have it. She has quality. Quality. You can have quality sobriety here. It's not the length. The length is nice, yes, because you've worked each day for that. Today I must earn. That's what time means. I've had to earn every day that I have. I've had to put something good into every day that's given to me. Still want to do that. And so again, I left Mr. Bailey because he asked me to please leave him. He told me he couldn't stand me in this sobriety another minute. And I used the third and the 11th step because nobody in here makes decisions for us. And of course, I grew to love Mr. Bailey in my sobriety. I could look back and really see the damage that I did to that man in my drinking. And I was privileged to make amends to him before he went home. And he thanked me even on his deathbed. He said, take my hand, Liz. He says, I want to thank you for saving me, because I went back and took care of him after being away from him 24 years. And people in AA couldn't understand me going back. But you see, by this time, I have found a God in here. And my God says, I wanted to be forgiven, so I must forgive others. And we say it in the Lord's Prayer every day, twice a day sometimes. And he told me he loved me. And it took me 47 years, girls, to hear that. So don't you all give up here. Don't give up. Don't give up. Before Mr. Bailey, I had a son. That's why I think I love you guys. My son was handsome. He had just made 28. And I used to say to him all the time, Dennis, the right road may be hard, but you'll be the winner. The easy road, the price is heavy. And he chose the easy road, and he was shot and killed at 2 in the morning between two houses. It's hard for a mother to lose her child. I don't care what child. I just lost a daughter, too, to Lou Gehrig disease. I watched her from beautiful go down to just a skeleton, really. And you know what? I always thank my God that I didn't have to pick up a drink about any of that. a sister of mine right behind my son getting shot and killed. She went into Manhattan and jumped 30 floors. Left 5 children, beautiful children she left. I didn't have to pick up a drink. I've gone up and had 9 operations in 41 years. I've been in death's door 9 times. God keep bringing me back. He keep bringing me back. I don't know why he keep bringing me back, but he brings me back. I went up and had 3 operations in 6 weeks. The doctor said to me, you've got cancer, and I'm going to give you just 6 months to live. I said, no, you don't talk to me like that. I am in a fellowship that has taught me to live one day at a time. I'm now 34 years an arrested cancer patient, and my motor's still running. Still running. And you know what? I got to tell you this. I don't like to tell you this, but the doctor's dead. I'm not. He's been gone. He has been gone. And I'm still here hopping trains and planes and buses and subways. I've never had a car in my whole sobriety. Never. And every night a different white dude picks me up, you know? And we got that instant love. And my neighbors are so shook up. From a drunk to this? What is she putting down? And I've had to tell a couple of them that I'm not a prostitute. That I'm going out to save my life, hoping to save somebody else's. That's what I'm going out the house for. Because my new home, you never home. I don't have to be home. Mr. Bailey didn't take that house with him. He didn't take a U-Haul. He put me out of it. But you know what? I got that house today and it's paid for. Ain't that nice? Yeah. All you got to do is live right, do right, think right, give right. All that right comes back to you. All of it will come. Because the God I serve wants you to have everything abundantly. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes. Because I sat out there the other night with these cats and ate the best of everything. Yes, I do. Live the best. Think the best so that good thoughts and good things will happen to you. You think down, you stay down. You don't want to be down there. And get rid of that self-pity, like I said. Again, I've been privileged to live the 12 steps. I keep reading the big book. It took me a while to get used to this newer one that we got, but it's all right. You know, I've been through a lot of changes. I want to suggest this to you very strongly. When you go to your meeting, get your coffee, eat your donuts or whatever, go to the lavatory. But when a speaker get up, don't you dare move. So you better go before you get in here, please. Now, I told you I crossed this United States, so I'm at many meetings. And what I see the change is when you walking up and down in front of a speaker and walking up and down in the back and talking in the back, that's such disrespect. Because this is a life and death matter here. And yet and still you can come in, like AA in the second reader says, AA in home, AA in your job, I hope you got one, and AA in socializing like you did last night. You were the prettiest sight for me to sit here and see dance. I've been privileged to open up 4 groups in AA. They're still going. I opened up a clubhouse for the drunk because I know I like to dance and have fun. I didn't come in here to drop dead now. Don't do that. Don't do that. See? And they used to come from all over to my clubhouse in New York, and the building was shaking, so I thought it was going to collapse a couple of times. But they still have the club, even though I'm not around. And you see, you can put a lot of good in here to get the good out. And we need you, young people. You're the next legacy. You're here for my grandchildren. Because I'm going to tell you why. I don't know nothing. Nanny don't know nothing. Nanny don't know. They don't want to hear nothing from Nanny. They'll hear you. They'll listen to you. And then that's where you got something ahead of you to do, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Right here for you. Yeah. And because, see, I'm called a legacy back in New York. And I'm called a celebrity, and I'm always straightening out people. I'm no celebrity. I'm a drunk. A drunk staying sober each day, just like everybody else here. I don't have it made. Don't want it made either. Again, AA in home, AA in your job, AA in socializing, and AA in religion if you care to go to religion of your choice. And that makes you live a balanced life. And here again, I got the good sisters in church give me a hard time. I want you all to know it. Sister Bailey, are you saved? I've been saved a long time. Well, Sister Bailey, how are you calling yourself an alcoholic if you're saved? I am an alcoholic till the day I die. The compulsion is still going on inside of me. Has nothing to do with my church at all. No, it doesn't. And don't let the church pull you out, because they'll try to do it. They'll try to pull you out of AA. But you see, we're in this room this morning under the same accord. And church is not so. Church is not so. And I don't like knocking church. I don't like knocking church because I love church. But I'm there for me, for my God and me. Not for my alcoholism. Not for that. But I am honest about my alcoholism. I'm very proud to be a member of AA. Very proud. Standing on the corner getting ready to go to my doctor at 8 o'clock one morning. Young man comes out of the crack den right behind the bus stop. Got a glass of liquor in his hands like that. He said, "Lady, what time is the next bus?" I said, 8:22. He said, "Lady, have you ever done anything that you really didn't want to do?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." He put me right in it. I told him, for 19 years, I drank and I went down. He said, "What made you stop?" I said, "Well, I said, I know I wanted to go up on that Long Island Railroad and jump in front of a train. I wanted to end it all." And here comes a guy up to speak to him. He put his liquor on the floor, on the ground. And they do all this funny handshaking, you know, all this stuff. I don't know. All this stuff. And the guy kicked his liquor over. I said, "Oh, my God. This is better him than me, because I'd have had a fit if I was drinking, you know that." So I said, "Well, he's going to run back in there and get himself some more." You know what that man did after talking to me? He looked down at that. He said, "Oh, there's a message in that. There was a message in that." Now, I don't usually 12-step on corners now. I'm telling you that right. No, I really don't. But this particular morning, I had to let him know that I can't drink. I cannot drink. And I enjoy my life. I admit and I accept. I want to tell you, I have 12 grandchildren that I see by appointment only. No, I don't babysit girls. I'm sorry. No babysitting. I'm feeling sorry. I went into a mall a few weeks ago with my 29-year-old granddaughter. They start from 36 down to 10, my grandchildren. And then I have now 5 great-grandchildren, which I never dreamt that I would have. But here again, we went over to the food counter, and it was the Japanese food. And my granddaughter says to the guy in back of the counter, "Is there any alcohol in that burgundy chicken?" And he said, "What do you say?" She said, "I want to know if there's any alcohol in that burgundy chicken." He said, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." She said, "Don't give it to my grandmother." I tell you the truth, I almost flipped out. I did, because I never figured that they would absorb me like that. She's never seen me drink or drunk. But look how she observed my life. Look at that, huh? So you have to live your life according to other people, not just to you. Not just to you. And I was so amazed at her. And I know my grandchildren watches over me with my sobriety so beautiful. Don't give it to my grandmother. Mm-mm. Didn't want me to have. And I know not to eat any food for me that's cooked in alcohol. You mail me 2 paper clippings from Florida telling me that alcohol is not cooked out. And I don't play with anything on my head like that. No, no. I'm an alcoholic. Can't play games. Sick of game playing. See? So I admit and I accept and I surrender to the fact that I am an alcoholic. And I have no choice to pick up a drink. I have a choice about many other things, but not to drink. And I came to believe. I had to first come, then come to. Then I came to believe that there is a power. And until that time, I stayed sick in AA. Migraine headaches, deep depressions, isolation. And for 5 years, I cried all the time in AA. 5 years. And it dawned on me that AA is a gift. Not everybody gets this gift. And if I wanted to keep this gift, I better let a higher power come in. My spiritual awakening was, greater is he that is in me than he that is out there in that world. And I can go to this higher power anytime, any place that I choose. And above all, when I'm up in that air. When I'm up in that air, I let go and let God. And here again, I made that decision one day to turn my life and my will over to God. I do not run my own life. I get off the plane with Danny and Jeanette, and what do you want to do, Liz? I go with the flow. Go with the flow. Nothing has to be on my terms. I told you, my terms are no good. I know that. And here again, I've taken that fourth step many, many times. You've got to clean house. You've got to clean it. Take a sponsor, a friend, or someone that you have confidence in, and unload that garbage that you've been carrying around for years and drinking on and hurting yourself with. Give it to somebody. You don't need it. And I love it when they told me, we will not regret the past, we will not forget the past, but we will not live in the past. I do not live in my past. If I start that, I'm in a mess today. I don't want to be in a mess today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I want to be glad and rejoice in it. And how you carry yourself, other people pick it up. Pick it up in a minute. If you're down, a lot of times last that weekend or so in Mississippi, there was a girl down, and I could pick it up. And I started talking to this girl. She said, do you know me? I said, yeah, if you're in this room, I know you. If you're in this room, I know you. Don't worry about it. I'm a stranger to you. And I picked that girl right up. Oh, she went on a high of a high. She got busy over at the conference. Got busy. What a difference. She walked out of there. Came back the next day looking good. Because you uplift people, not put them down. Don't gossip about anybody. You know, that's not where it's at. And so again, I've made myself amends to many people. Some of them I didn't have to. They were just so happy to see me sober. They started kissing me all up in my head, up and down my arm. They were so happy that Liz come up out that gutter. I come from the gutter, on park benches, abandoned buildings, basements, everywhere I was out there over in New York. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't nice. So I don't want to go back because it's out there waiting for me. And I'll tell you all something that you might not want to hear again. Satan do not like you clean and sober. And he's going to use everything against you. But kick him in the behind. Don't tell him to get behind you. Because I don't know what he'll push you into. See? Just say, get in front of me. Get in front of me, and I'm kicking you out of my way. And I've had a lot to do with that. People, places, and things. I'm going to suggest very strongly, if you're going through anything this day, open your big book to page 449. We start at the bottom of 448, but 449 is all right. Okay, God, I'm an alcoholic of sorts, and I've got to turn and accept life on life terms, and I got to keep on keeping on one day at a time. I hope I meet some of you again on my journey, because when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. I look at it, sometime I am wrong. Sometime I'll cut you off at a meeting because I don't want to hear you going wrong. And then I turn around and tell you I'm sorry because I'm not taking you home with me, you know. And because I take that home and nurse it and keep myself sick. So when I'm wrong, I do that. I correct myself right away. And when I'm right, I shut up. I do not try to prove myself to anybody because I just told Jeanette last night, walking back to the hotel, I said, you know, I just really realize how sensitive I am and how emotional I am. I'm highly emotional. And I have to work on those two departments for myself. See? And there again, after I've had a spiritual awakening, I'm still trying to carry a message. I don't tell any of you I carry a message. No. I try to carry a message. And I do practice these principles in all my affairs. and you have to practice. Don't expect to start out doing something and you got it right away. No, no. You've got to keep working at it. Keep working at it. And my baby, you're going to do that too, Jeanette. Yes, you are. You're going to keep working at it. Yeah. Now, Arthur and Louise, thank you from my heart for this weekend. I love you guys so much. You've brought me so much joy, every one of you in here, especially when you say hello to me and speak to me. And never, do Liz a favor, never let a drunk sit alone in any of these rooms. Don't do that. Don't do that, because we can do together what I can't do alone. Yugurtha has been in my life 40 years, and every time I see Yugurtha, I just get extremely happy because we've grown up together, and that's another nice thing. Once you get a friendship in here, you get a lasting friendship. Please don't ask me where anybody is that I drank with, because I don't know. I ain't looking them up either. No, I'm not looking them up. No, please be a power of example. And I like it when they say, let you be the big book that somebody never read. Let you be the big book. Live this life. I just went down the 12th step with you. And I hope you go to the meeting you don't want to go to. That's the one you get the zinger every time. Yeah, go to the meeting you don't want to go to. You'll get it. And they tell you, bring the body. Bring the body for the mind to open up. And that's what I had to do. I walked in here a very sick girl at 31, and I had to keep bringing the body for my mind to open up to what was going on, because I did not know what was going on. Did not. I made 7 meetings a week, 3 times on Sunday, and I still make many, many meetings. And I'm looking forward to getting up in the air this afternoon with my God and carrying all your love with me, because it's your love that has saved me. You have saved me. You didn't come out here today in vain at all. No, you didn't. Because I hope that God will continue to use me. And that's the only prayer that I've prayed in all my sobriety. Use me to help one of your children. And if I've touched just one person today, and my children used to say, oh, there she goes to save the world. No. I'm not looking to save the world. I just want to touch one, that you'll stay here and live this beautiful life. And it gets so good, it scares the hell out of you. And I notice when it gets good, you blow it. You blow it every time. Keep an attitude of gratitude, and it will equal your recovery. Find one thing a day to be grateful for. If it's even just getting up out of your bed saying good morning. Because a lot don't. And we're losing our young people so quick in New York. 75 to 80 of you a day are dying in New York. That's a lot of young people. So if you're privileged to get this gift today or anytime, hang on to it. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell down. Go up. Go up. And put your hand out to another drunk. That's how Bill and Bob started AA. That's how it got started. One drunk to another drunk. And if you're in NA, thank God for NA. Because at one time, if you went to an NA meeting, the cops locked you up. And God stepped in there and changed it so that you could make an NA meeting. Because it has to be two under the same accord. And that's why AA is a singleness of purpose, that I stand up here and talk about alcohol. I've asked the NA people for years, what's the eight ball? And you laugh at me. I don't know what the eight ball is. I call my sister in Georgia. I said, Bootsy, what's the eight ball? She said, just don't get behind it. So I won't be getting behind the eight ball because I don't know what it is, okay? And it's okay. Thank God I don't know about sniffing them up, popping them up, or shooting them up. I really don't. I don't. So I want to thank every one of you for your love and your patience with me this morning. And for those who came out, thank you again and again. Thank you is such a small little word, but you know what I mean. I hope you feel my love, because without you, I could never make it. I know that. I know it, because I've seen those who try to do without us, and they don't make it. They don't make it. so we can do together what I could never do alone. Have a good, blessed day today. Today is time that says today I must earn. I've got to earn this, not sit back and look for the, like my friend says, the easiest, softer way, because there's no such thing. And build a good foundation for yourself so that when these things start to happen, you got something to back you up. Because life is full of trials and tribulations, and you know it. So I thank God for you, and thank God for the committee, and for all of you again. I love you. And don't ask me if I got a boyfriend, because I'll tell you, I'm happy, I'm joyous, and I'm free.
What a wonderful message with such enthusiasm. Liz, the committee wants to thank you for coming and speaking, and and all the members of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm sure, thank you for coming too, and we'd like to present you with this gift.
Thank you very much. Feels like a